Well, let me preach to you for just a little while as we get into 1 Peter chapter number 1, and I'll try to be timely with us tonight, but I want you to look at verse number 23. We'll go to the end of the chapter there in 1 Peter chapter 1. And last week we looked into, or last time, if it wasn't last week, we looked into verse number 22, how you those that purified their souls, they're obeying through the Spirit, and how we're supposed to love one another, love the brethren, and do it with a pure heart fervently. And now we're looking into how that's possible and why we should. So we're looking at verse number 23, 24, 25. As you're finding your place there in 1 Peter, don't forget that this Wednesday, the service for Miss Judy Whitson will be here at 7 o'clock, a visitation from 4 to 7. And the choir, you'll be singing for that. Please come and be a part of that. I know it would be an honoring service, I really do believe. We're looking at verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And so I want you to think about this as we get right into the message. Many of our church forefathers, even in England where the young people were, but church forefathers took much ridicule for something that we take for granted. And what we take for granted oftentimes is that it's been established in churches like ours that people that come and they yoke up with the church, they're saved. A redeemed membership. Meaning that you have to give testimony of the fact that you've come to Jesus Christ, which means if you're saved, then the Holy Spirit dwells within you, and you have this redeemed membership. But in many societies, the church, quote unquote, is run by the state, and you get christened or you get baptized into the as a baby. There's no salvation there. There's none of these things that would be a born-again experience. You're just in there. Well, can you imagine how salvation changes everything? If I've got a problem with you or you've got a problem with me, we've got a disagreement, as it comes apart, we're coming to each other as brothers or sisters in Christ. We ought to be able, as the Scripture says, to come and see those things because you've got the Holy Spirit dwelling in you and I've got the Holy Spirit dwelling in me. Well, for pity's sake, we ought to be able to come to some kind of conclusion together and do it in a Christian manner. But if you had not redeemed membership, meaning that everybody was just in there, then we're just a bunch of people meeting and we're trying to come and put our idea above somebody else's idea. Well, the Scripture here says, being born again, we're loving one another in verse number 22 out of a pure heart fervently, but we're being born again, not of corruptible seed. I want to preach for a little bit about that. And I want you to look at verse number 23. And I first of all see this power and purity of the word. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. There's not something that had some decay in it, not something that had a little bit of rot in it or anything of that nature, but of incorruptible. And then it goes on to tell you what that is. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The living word of God is the instrument that the Holy Spirit uses to impart principles in your life. You say, well, we say by the Spirit of God, we say by the word of God. Yes, the Holy Spirit of God uses the word of God because that's how we come. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's that incorruptible seed. And so we see the purity and the word of God in verse number 23. I'll read to you here Hebrews chapter 4. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I'm assuming that everybody in here is like this. How many of you have had the Word of God do some surgery on you before? You thought you were doing pretty good till the Word got loose on you, and you found that it was sharp. And you found that it did do its dividing work. Notice there, if you will, as it's powerful, it's quick, but it's also piercing. I think the actions of the Word of God, it's a discerner. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents, but also the attributes of it. It's quick, and meaning it's alive, it's powerful. You and I didn't join a club when we came in and said, wow, I think I'd like to go over there. Those folks look fairly nice. Well, joke's on you. They're not that nice. We're not as good as you thought we were. But we didn't come and join a club and says, wow, those folks look pretty nice. Instead, we came around the Word of God, and that's the Word of God. It's incorruptible, and we were born again, and that's why we came together. I sometimes think about those silver dollars. You can buy these silver eagles, those troy ounces, and they'll say 99.9% pure silver. Because there's a little bit of impurities, as pure as they try to get it out, get the pure impurities out as pure as they try to get it, but there's still a fraction of impurities, my friend, but there's not any in the Word of God. It says not of corruptible, but of incorruptible. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in 2 Peter, in 2 Timothy, it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, meaning that God breathed, and I see this power and the purity of the Word of God in verse number 23. But I have to tell you, to all of you on those workout routines, you've spent time with the gym pumping iron and getting ready. I see in verse number 24 the frailty of our flesh. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. I don't want to bust your bubble with you that's been working out, and you've been trying to get this wonderful bod that you've been wanting for so long. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little. He said, yeah, Pastor, but it does profit a little. You're right. Pastor Brown, who I worked for some years, he said, it's a proven fact that people that eat right and exercise die healthier. But I see the frailty of our flesh, and so I don't want to break it to you, but I'm going to have to, that incredible hunk that you thought you were marrying one of these days is going to turn into the incredible chunk. He won't be the Hulk, he'll be the bulk. That body that's in great and wonderful shape will eventually turn into another shape. That shape will be round. That dream boat will turn into a life raft, barely making it by, and that person, as they say, will have the furniture disease because that strong, broad chest will fall into his drawers. And so we understand that all things kind of go a different direction. His haircut that used to be a crew cut would have the crew all bail out. You've heard all those things before. Her mind is like a steel trap, but it rusted shut now. So I'm saying that we are a frail bunch of people. And I'm not saying that. I am saying to be funny, but I'm not saying that to be unkind. This quote is from Isaiah chapter, back in Isaiah, in verse number 24 and 5 is back from Isaiah. And it's showing us how that if we're putting confidence in the flesh, you are putting confidence in something that can't deliver what you think it can deliver. In all honesty, you should take care of your body. It's the only one you're getting. God gave you a glorified body one of these days, but this is all you got to work with, and you should take care of it. But my friend, there's been an elevation of the importance of our flesh. We have begun to worship the creation more than we worship the Creator, like the Bible says. And you understand that this flesh that we've got, the Bible says, is the grass. It withereth away. We're praying right now for a young lady, early 20s, Keely, who's dealing with liver cancer. I talked to a family just recently who their daughter-in-law works at the St. Jude Cancer Center for Pediatrics, and they see some of the saddest things coming through there. I'm just telling us this evening that this body that we in America and maybe other parts of the world as well, but we've worshiped. You say, we don't worship it. Oh, look at all the advertisements. Look at all of the promotions. Look at all of the elevation of flesh. And it doesn't matter how great, how beautiful, handsome, good looking, or what awe-inspiring you are, all of that is leaving. And so, my friend, I'm not trying to tell you not to take care of it. Yes, you should. But remember, it's going the way of all other things in this world. It's frail. You say, okay, I got that, Pastor. What's your point? I'll give you the last point, and then we'll go and look at verse number 25. We see the third part is we need to build our lives on the Word of God, because it says, but in contrast to verse number 24, for all flesh is grass, in opposite of that, because of that, it's withering away, it's not going to stay, it's falling apart, and some of you in this room can attest to that. It's falling apart, it's withering away, but, verse 25, the word of the Lord endureth forever. Our young people with their lives in front of them, 20 or so of which went to England this past week, they need to realize that the same thing that you need to realize, and that is that we can build our lives on the word of God, as I talked about this morning, because it's not going anywhere. To those of you who think that we're going to be the one exemption or the exception, we're going to be the one that makes this thing into a masterpiece. Your masterpiece will fall into dismemberment as well. You will fall into disarray, I should say, because the Word of God needs to be built upon your life, your body, your flesh is all going the way of all flesh. And so I'm asking this evening, what are we building our lives upon, and what are we living for? We celebrated Preacher Lastly's birthday, 92 years, and he's not here with us tonight, but don't you know that he's glad that he's built his life for all of these years as a preacher of the gospel? When you think about somebody like him, you look back at verse number 25 and said, this is the word by the gospel is preached unto you, a faithful gospel preacher. But he's not the only one. You don't have to have preacher as your title. You can be somebody who lives by the gospel and lives by the gospel, the word of God that's preached unto you. This is that word. And so this evening, I'm thinking about these things. This book gives this message, which is the gospel that redeemed you if you're saved and wants to redeem you if you aren't. And so that you can live in it, by it, and on it. There was a time when we brought up our kids in churches like this. To be at church every time the doors are open. You've heard it just like I have. They're there every time the church doors are open. There was a time when we sent our brightest and our best not to go to the university to figure out how to make as much money as they possibly could to be the who's who. But instead, we sent our brightest and our best to go serve the Lord on the mission field or go serve the Lord in a church somewhere. There was a time when families faithfully gave to God's work because it was elevated in their minds because the Word of God showed the importance of getting its Word out. There was a time when we taught our boys that you may not be a preacher, but you could be if God wants you to be. And if you are, then go do it for the glory of God. Don't try to find anything else that you can do. There was a time when we took our young ladies and we taught them to be girls. And we said there is a distinction between the girls and the boys. And we taught them to live respectfully in both of those. There was a time when the parents decided that, yeah, you better believe my kid's going on the youth activity. Instead of saying, honey, do you want to go today or not? I was talking to somebody a little months ago about the missions trip that the kids went on, and the parents said, oh yeah, they're going. And that used to be pretty common. But now we want to ask, well, are you sure that's what you want to do? But we did all of those things. We offered our brightest and our best. And we encouraged them because the world was in need. We encouraged them, as Brother Dan mentioned, because we needed laborers. The time was short. We encouraged them to be the men that God wanted them to be. We encouraged them to be the wife that God wanted them to be, to those Christian servants as they were going. We encouraged them and required that they go to the youth activity and be involved in that because they needed to grow. And we knew that the Bible study would be prevalent in that youth activity. And we were doing that because we were trying to build our lives on the book. And so this evening, I'm asking if we could just have an old-fashioned revival in you and I to the people that God allows us to affect, to say once again that I am also going to build my life upon the Word of God. Yes, our children are going to be in the group when they get in there and get around their Bible study. Yes, we're going to encourage our young people, if God moves upon their heart, to go in the ministry. And we're not only going to encourage them by our Word, we're going to encourage them by our pocketbook, and we're going to encourage them in all that they do. And yes, we're going to say that when the missionaries come through, that it's a wonderful thing, and we want to encourage them along the way. And Braden and other young men, as they come through, we're going to say, Sikkim boy, go get them for the glory of God, because we realize that this world is quickly going the way of all flesh. And there is only one life that we've got, and the only the things done for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ really matter. But we've got to get to a place where we build our lives on the book. Anytime a salesman tries to convince you to spend your money, he wants to assure you of his product's value and your need of what he's got. Well, I can assure you not only of the Bible's worth and value, but I also can prove to you, and I don't think I have to, but I also can prove to you the frailty of your flesh. And I don't think with the events of the last couple of weeks that we even have to dwell on that for us to realize how frail this flesh is that most of the world's putting all of their stock in. I'm asking you tonight to build your life upon the book, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Contrasting that with that flesh that's grass, it's as grass as it were, and it withering, it's like the flower that falleth away. My friend, we've got to decide once again that the Lord is worthy of our young people to go and serve Him with all of their lives. Far be it, woe unto us as a church that we pull our kids back from what God has led them in to do. And then while we're encouraging those young people, some of us old ones need to realize once again that we're putting all this stock in what we can do, but instead we ought to be building our lives upon the book and realize it's that being we're born again of that incorruptible seed. And may we build our lives in such a way that when we stand before the Lord someday, we'll be thankful for what we did then, because then we won't have time to redo what we're doing now. On that day, we'll wish we'd done more on this day. May we build our lives on the book. Father, bless us now as our prayer. Please be with us tonight. And Lord, would you let the old church have a resurrection, dear Lord, a revival, maybe I should say, of people that would say, I'm going to build my life on that precious word of God. I'm not going to be afraid of being a fanatic. I'm not going to be afraid of people making fun just because I have some Bible convictions, just because I decide that I'm going to be faithful, just because I'm going to decide I'm going to be faithful in giving, I'm going to be faithful in going, I'm going to be faithful in all these other areas. Dear Lord, may we not be ashamed of that. May we not be afraid, and may we not pull back on our young people. May we encourage and challenge them to see all that God has for them. And may our marriages be built upon the rock. May our families be built upon the rock. May our individual lives be built upon the rock, the book. Father, thank you for this time. Bless us in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies play something through? And if God has spoken to your heart, they're playing that song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. How about it, my friend? That flesh that we're putting a lot of confidence in, maybe it's your physical flesh, or maybe it's just that mind, or maybe it's the ability that you have. My friend, be careful. That business mind of yours could be taken as quicker than God gave it to you. Let's not get our priorities mixed up. Let's not think that we've got it all figured out. Let's build our lives on the Word of God. As they play one more verse, if God's speaking to your heart, please do business with Him. Whether you come up front, the altar is open, yes. Or whether you stay there and do a service, a time of soul searching with the Lord right there, either one. But may you decide to build your life on the book. What are you living for, my friend? What are we putting all of our stock in? Could we truly sing that song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus? Or would we, if we were honest, we'd have to hold back on some of those words? We're certainly glad that Jesus saved us, but I don't know we're following Him, some of us. Oh, my friend. You can look this way, and I'm thankful for the chance to be in God's house tonight. And I trust that the message was a blessing. I've just been overwhelmed by the need that we have to give all that we've got to the Lord. Brother Don Sisk in his 90s said that it used to be very commonplace when he'd preach a missions conference, which this is not, but when he would preach a missions conference, that somebody would just surrender. And he said, now, just as common as it was then, it's equally as uncommon now. meaning it happened on a regular basis. It rarely happens now. Why would that be? It can't be that the world's gotten so good. Must be that we're just putting our emphasis, all of us. I mean, I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to us. Well, Bob Kelly, you say when there's one finger pointing you, there's more pointing back than there is pointing out. We're all in this. This world is just tempting, teasing, pulling us. Let's get back to building our lives on the book. Thank you so much. Well, it's been a joy to be in church all day. Kyle's going to meet with all the Bible school workers. How long is it going to take, Kyle? 10 minutes. We're timing you. 7:39. If he goes past 7:49, tell him you're out, you're leaving. Okay. And no, just joking, but he won't take long. And then I'm going to ask Brother Kovac, if you don't mind, to slip back to the lobby and by his table, you and Miss D, and get by and see them. And Braden, I'll have you be out in the lobby. I'll be out there in a little bit as well. Hopefully you'll get by and encourage him along the way. He'll be leaving early in the morning and serving at this camp up for the next 6 weeks. And it'll be a wonderful thing if we just let him know that you're praying for him. And he has been a real blessing to us. We're thanking the Lord for him. So I think that's all that we needed. And don't forget Wednesday night. If you have any questions about that, you can call in Miss Phyllis or Miss Stephanie. Will take care of any questions you have on that. And I think some folks are fixing some meals for the Whitsons, and you keep praying for them. So I think that's it. God bless you. You're dismissed.